Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church celebrates the feast of the dedication of St. John Lateran Basilica, which really is Holy Mother Church for us as Catholics around the world. Now, we recognize the Pope has two titles, Pope, but also as Bishop of Rome, and his cathedral is St. John Lateran. And so that is Holy Mother Church. Now, I think what confuses us is we see St. Peter's Basilica with all these great liturgical celebrations, and we think that is Holy Mother Church, but actually it's not. It's St. John Lateran Basilica. And so we celebrate its dedication. Now, let's turn to the scripture readings that the church asks us to read. We look at that first reading. Now, it's important to note some background about the Temple of Jerusalem. First of all, the temple was the place where God chose to dwell amongst the Israelite people. And so the temple was a very sacred and holy place. Essentially, the temple was at the very heart of the Jewish life. It's where heaven and earth met in the most sacred way. You know, before the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 BC, the Israelites painted murals on the walls of the temple to depict a garden, and that was very intentional on their part. The reason why they did that is because they wanted to make the temple the reestablished or recreated Garden of Eden, in which we recognized and had a right relationship with God. As it says, you know, in Genesis, before the fall of grace, that Adam and Eve walked in easy fellowship with God in the cool evening of the garden. And so the Israelites recognized that. They saw within this temple is the right relationship that they had with God. Now, the temple, as I mentioned, was at the very center and the core of the Israelites' faith and as a people. Now, it was located in the city of Jerusalem. But when the Jewish people thought of the temple, they didn't think of Jerusalem first, as Jerusalem is a city that has the temple in it. No, it's just the opposite. They looked at the temple and they said the temple is surrounded by a city called Jerusalem. That's how centrally important the temple was for the Israelites. And yet, over time, corruption seeped in or crept into the temple, as we hear in the gospel. And in doing so, what happened was God's presence leaves. We find that in Ezekiel 10. Ezekiel describes how God's presence leaves because of the idolatry and the sin of the Israelite people. And then a short while later, in 587 BC, the Babylonians conquer the Israelites, they destroy Jerusalem, and then they also destroy the temple. Now, that had devastating consequences upon the Israelites. They began to raise some serious questions, you know, about their identity. Are they going to continue to be God's chosen people? Will God ever come back and dwell within them? Now, with that in mind, let's go back into that first reading. It makes more sense. It's from Ezekiel, and he has this vision, a vision in which God's presence returns to the temple. Now, notice what happens, the ramifications of that presence. Ezekiel, he sees water flowing out of the temple, and in doing so, essentially, it's bringing life to everything it touches. It says, every creature multiplied, and there was an abundance of fish, and fruit trees grew to serve as food, and its leaves as medicine. Now, the Israelite people are a desert people. And desert people know the importance of water. Water is life to them. And so this water that is flowing out of the temple is actually life. Life that is being created by the presence of God in that temple. And so it's life and life in abundance. Now, with that in mind, essentially, it's a great segue into the gospel. We have the classic story of Jesus cleansing the temple, right? Well, essentially, it's Jesus fulfilling the prophecy of Ezekiel and what he sees in that first reading. What we have to recognize is the Jewish people, the Israelites, they waited centuries and centuries for the Messiah to come. And they recognized that once the Messiah comes, one of his first tasks or jobs was to purify the temple, so that the temple was properly purified and cleansed, and therefore it became the proper place again to give God right praise and right worship. And in doing so, it would reestablish the right relationship they had with God. And so that was the central task of the Messiah. Well, you look at Jesus, and he's doing just that. You know, he comes in the temple, and he's so angry. His actions here in the gospel for today tell us exactly who he is. He is the long-awaited Messiah, and he's doing exactly what he should be doing, cleansing and purifying the temple. Now, take it a few steps back. If you look at all four of the gospels, if there's one question that people are always asking, it's this. Who is this guy? Who is this guy that performs these incredible miracles? Who is this guy that, you know, has command over demons to bring them out of people? Who is this guy that teaches like with such authority, almost like God? Well, Jesus, through his actions here in the gospel, he's telling us exactly who he is. He's the Messiah, and he's doing his job. He's cleansing and purifying the temple. Now next, Jesus, he tells the Pharisees, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it. Well, if you are a first century Jew, hearing this for the first time, you are overwhelmed by it. In fact, you can't believe it. But we know what Jesus is telling the people. Jesus is instituting that he now is the new temple. His own body is now the sacred dwelling place of God because he is God. That's essentially what he's telling them. Now, this is a fundamental shift for the people. You know, Jesus is basically pointing to the temple and saying, God's presence isn't in that building. Now it's in me because I am God. And so Jesus, he's basically living out the prophecy that Ezekiel saw in that first reading. Now, that water that flowed out of the temple. Well, remember when Jesus died on the cross? You know, they struck him with a lance in his side. Remember what poured out? Water and blood. Well, the water essentially represented or was symbolic of baptism. The blood was symbolic of the Eucharist. Those two sacraments give us life in Christ. Now, what's the implication? In the very measure that we are grafted onto Christ through baptism, well, we now become participants in his presence. He is now present in our life. From the moment of our baptism, Jesus joined his life to us, and every time we receive his body and his blood, we grow in that presence or in his life that he wants to share with us. And see, Paul is alluding to that in that second reading. Notice what he says. You are God's building according to the grace of God. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? Now, Paul probably wrote that in maybe the 50s AD. Now, you are a first century Christian and you hear that for the first time. Well, you're completely blown away and astonished. Paul is telling us that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit because we have been grafted onto Jesus Christ. And yes, that is so true. Now, it begs a very important question. Maybe the same question the Israelites asked themselves when the temple was destroyed. is the temple of our body always dedicated to right praise and right worship? Or is there something in our life that is obstructing that? Just like how the temple in Jerusalem was corrupted. Is there something in our life that is obstructing that? Well, it can be a variety of things. Pride, envy, jealousy, fame, fortune, power, honor, whatever it may be. If it's there, well, then surrender to Christ. Allow Him to cleanse the temple of our body. Let Jesus do the cleaning that needs to be done, so that all aspects of our life now live in harmony with Christ, are not competing with Him. All aspects, from our relationships of family and friends, from our work with coworkers or our job and our career, to, you know, hobbies, sports, pleasure, whatever it is. You know, they are all essentially in harmony with Christ. And better yet, they all give right praise and right worship to God, the way it was meant to be. You know, from the very beginning of creation, before the fall of grace. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.